Morning, church. And how is everybody? Good? Yep. And you are ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Great. I think that's one thing that all of us must always thirst and hunger for. Yes, the Word of God. Yep. Even Colossians remind us, let the Word of God dwell in our hearts. Richly. Okay? All right, great. So, as Pastor has mentioned, well, let me test you first. Now, what series are we in now? All and nothing, huh? Not bad. Okay, you passed the first one. Let's go to the second one. Now, I'm wondering, after five part, right? Which part did you catch? The first half or the second half? All right, you got it? I'm just kidding, okay? I know we're much better. And by now, I know that all of us have a much greater understanding and appreciation of the preeminence of Christ, right? And that the salvation plan that He provides for us, it's perfect and complete. Okay? And that because of that, all of us can actually live a Christ-like life, both, you know, for His kingdom and for His missions. If you say amen to that, good. Yes, first five part finished. Today we are covering household for Christ. And next week, Pastor will wrap up mission in Christ. And usually the ending is most important. Make sure you guys show up. Okay, and it reminded me that if you go for a movie, exciting movie, and at the last 10 minutes, you walk out. You won't do that, right? Okay. Household for Christ. I'm going to start by telling you a story. Story of two men, two family, and ending up in two totally different destinations. Long time ago, this is like 1877 in New York, a sociologist by the name of Richard L. Dugdale. All right, he decided to conduct a series of studies on the New York prison system and its inmates. So among all his interesting findings, one stood out. He found out that out of 42 inmates or prisoners, some of them even have different last names, but they were all traced to be the descendant of one person. Jude was his name. Now Jude, unfortunately, led a very ungodly life. Hard drinker, is an idler, does not believe in education at all, nor responsibilities. And somehow he also managed to find a wife that shared with him the same idea and same lifestyle. And later on, the sociologist Richard Dugdale decided to trace his descendant, that is, Jude's descendant, over a period of five generations. And this was his finding. Amazing finding. Out of about 1,200 descendants, this is the statistic. This is a true story, by the way. There were seven murderers, 60 thieves, 190 prostitutes, 150 other convicts, 310 paupers who lived in abject poverty, and 440 who were physically wrecked because of addiction to alcohol, and 300 died prematurely. Now, that's the statistic. Sad, right? Legacy that he left behind. And about the same time, also in the US, person by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He was a Puritan preacher, and he was also one of the most renowned preachers in his time. And in fact, he, together with several other preachers, sparked a revival. Okay, some of you may even know it, the Great North American Awakening. Now, Jonathan Edwards attended the Yale College at a very young age of 13. And in fact, later on, he became the president of Princeton College. Now, he married his wife, Sarah. And together, they were blessed with 11 children. And Jonathan, almost every day, he would spend at least an hour conversing with his family. And at the end of the day, he would pray a prayer of blessing to each and every one of their children. So Jonathan Edwards, together with Sarah, left behind a strong godly legacy to their children. Sometime later, an American educator, A.E. Winship, decided to trace the descendant of Jonathan Edwards, also for a period of 5 generations. And this is his amazing finding. Trace about 1,000 descendants. There were 1 U.S. vice president among them. And there were 3 U.S. senators, 3 governors, 3 mayors, 1 dean of a law school, 1 dean of a medical school, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professors, and 75 military officers, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 clergy. What a legacy that he left behind. Now, I do not know if any of you has actually attempted to look so far ahead and visualize what your descendant might look like. Now, this is Edwards and Jude's descendant, but I'm 100% confident all of us would pick along the line of Jonathan Edwards. Yes? Yep, so I invite you this morning, at least for the next 40 minutes or so, to journey with me and to discover from the Word of God what God says, okay, about raising household for Christ that can last for generations, and then apply it for ourselves. Because you know what? One thing for certain, all these descendants can be traced back to you and me. All our descendants, okay? They will trace back to you. You are the forebear. So it's obvious we must and should choose to make the right choice here. And we will also learn today that if we, all of us, okay, willingly submit ourselves, our children, our families under the lordship and preeminence of Christ, the Lord will do his part, and he will ensure that our family will thrive and shine for his glory for a long, long time to come. Okay, that's what we will learn. And the text for today is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. I would like to invite all of us to stand and read the Word of God together. Okay, at the count of 3. 1, 2, and 3. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Father, indeed, We'd like to commit our service to your hand. We'd like to invite your Holy Spirit indeed to be in our midst, and especially to open our hearts and our eyes to the truth of your word, and also enable us to be doers of your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, please be seated and thank you. I've been to some big, large bookstore, okay, like the SS bookstore in Penang, yeah? Maybe millions of books in there. And if you go to family sections, you'll find hundreds of books written about children, about marriage, about raising families, just hundreds and hundreds of them, books. Now, what you have just read is the Word of God. In less than 50 words, in there, you can find the very truth, principles, and all the secret that you need to raise a household for Christ that can last for generations. It deals, you know, with all the intricacy, all the relationship between husband and wife, wife and husband, children to parents, and parents to children. All of it in the nutshell contained here in actually only 42 words. Isn't the Word of God great? Yep. And not only that, actually we can further distill it to only 3 little words. And it's here. Submit, love, and obey. And this actually it itself is a 3 simple steps blueprint that the Lord used to build household for Christ that lasts. Okay, we will focus on this. Now, when Paul wrote the epistle of Colossians, he's writing it to the believers in Colossians and in Colossae. And at that time, Colossae, together with many other hundreds of cities, they are under the Romans' rule. And the Romans in those days rules like 1/3 of the world. It's certainly the largest, okay, empire that lasts like 1,500 years old. Okay. Now, when Paul wrote this letter, that's AD 63, he wrote it in a prison in Rome. Okay, yeah. So prison are not too bad, right? They are good. They are good thing coming out of it. Now, we want to know, that's around the first century, okay, AD. What is a family life like in ancient Rome? Well, if you are guys, you'll be pretty happy, all right? Because it's a man's world. Under the Rome's rule, it's a man's world. And men can actually rule with absolute authority over all his household. Okay, and even in the political realm, in society, and in particular in the household, men rule with absolute authority. And the interesting thing is that there is a law, a Roman law, okay, that back him up, that enable him to do that, and that's called the patria potestas. It's not something I make up. You can search it in Google nowadays, all right? So, if you are children or infant, it's tough life because right on the first day when the child was born, the father will decide whether to keep the baby or not. If not, the baby would be either given away or even left on the streets. Outside. And infant mortality in those days is pretty high, 25% or thereabout. And also by the time about 40% of these children will not make it by the time they are 10 years old. Children's life, hard life. And they have little freedom at all because absolutely everything is decided and directed by the head of the household, usually the father. Well, women doesn't fare any better. They are usually married off at a very young age, early teens, and it's always through arranged marriage, and of course, the father will decide who she married to. And women are not allowed to vote. Neither were they allowed to hold any public office at all. And if you are slaves and freemen, too bad. You got no say. Let's give you, a glimpse on the family life in ancient Rome. Thank God that the Roman doesn't rule until today. Yeah. Back to our three steps blueprint, starting with one. All right, the wives, open your ears. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. And I hear the guys say, yeah, at least you are excited about that. Okay, now, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, okay, he's writing to Christians, believers, and in those days, they all meet in houses, his household church, very family-oriented and setting. And who were these people then? Now, Colossae, it's a very cosmopolitan city where many nationals stay there, whether they are Greeks, Jews, and many others. And as you heard earlier on, they were all living under the law of Romans and the influence of Romans culture and traditions. Now, when they came to know the Lord, what's going to happen? How will they behave in society and in particular in the household, within the household? How should they behave? The next slide gives us some clue. In Colossians 3, verse 11, it says this, that believers, okay, in believers, there is neither Greek nor Jews, neither circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythians, slaves, nor free, but Christ is all in all. In other words, they were all set free from their bondages. And in the eyes of Christ, all of them are of equal value and standing before Him. Now, back to the salvation plan of Christ that's perfect and complete. One of the big aspects about His salvation plan is that He intends to restore mankind to His original plan and purposes, starting with the family. And we all know that how important family unit is to society and to the nations. And the interesting thing is that God is using that three steps blueprint for that very purpose, in restoring the household and in building household for Christ that can last for generations. That simple three steps blueprint is what He's using. And that's why when we come back here, wives, submit to your husband. It is very different now. In the past, you were subjected to because of the law. You have no choice. You have to under the Roman law. Now, been set free, what's going to happen? Now, look at it this way, that you can now willingly choose to submit lovingly to your husband simply because it's the Lord's command. Because it's the Lord's command, you can now have a choice and you can choose to lovingly and willingly submit to your husband, despite the fact that it's unconditional. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6, there is a parallel passage about raising family for Christ. And it's in a lot more detail there. And it says there that wives, submit to your husband in all things. I think at this point, let me also put the caveat or the only exception is this. The only exception to that submission is this, that when submitting may lead to, you know, a potential crime or sin being committed, or when your physical security has been threatened. Those are just the few exceptions. Otherwise, ladies, you can willingly and lovingly choose to submit to your husband. And not only that, and when you do that, the Lord is saying here, look, my daughter, I am happy. I am pleased, for it is fitting. What you have done is you are obeying my commandment. Okay? Not so difficult, right? Let's move on. Okay, and the wife can now relax. It's the husband's turn to sweat. Husband, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Well, yeah, the only one amen. I think all the wives will love this, right? Yes. Okay, the thing is this. Somehow, your guys, when it comes to love, it's not so spontaneous nor natural to him. And I think when they were courting, it's different. When they were courting and maybe during the early age of stage of the marriage, the guy put on the mask. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm kidding. But we would find out, okay? We can go to the very beginning and see how man was made and how he was wired together, shall we? Yeah, where does he, your guys, okay, the husband, comes from? Now, Genesis 1:26. Okay. When God made the creation, right, at the beginning, then God say, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the fish of the sea, and over all the birds of the heavens, and over all the livestock, and also over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You see, guys, or girls rather, ladies and wives, your guys are wired for the physical world out there. He's meant to go out there, to explore, to discover, and to dominate the world out there. Another way of putting it, he's like been digitally made. His mind is wired digitally. You know, the kind of 1-0, on-off, yes-no type of guys. That is why I say that he needs to be reminded over and over and over again when it comes to love. Okay, ladies? Now, one more thing. How about she, the wives? Where does she come from? All right, with reference to Genesis 2:23. Now, when God makes Adam, all right, and when all the creation was done, God sent Adam far out into the world to take care of all his creation. And Adam was a super busy man, running after all the animals, chasing after all the birds, and also maybe swimming with all the fishes around. Keeps him busy, busy, busy. And after a while, the Lord God thought, it's not so good for him to be lonely. All right, he needs someone better. And so the creation story mentioned that the Lord God took a ribs from Adam and he created what? Woman. Okay, if I can draw nicely, it's very slim one. Woman. All right. And then when he has done, the Lord God took the woman to Adam. And what did Adam say? Bone of my bone, finally, and flesh of my flesh. You know the part, the Bollywood movie, where there's always this part where the hero gets to sing and dance around the tree. This is a time, woman, and Adam will be singing and jumping and dancing around Eve. Yeah? Okay. You know, God did not took from the head to create woman to lord it over you. Neither did he take from your leg to create woman for you to trample on. No, no, no. He took it from your side so that you can walk side by side with you in your journey in life. And also from your side to be your helper and your soulmate and for you to cherish and to love. Okay. Is it difficult to love yourself? No, right? Is it hard to take care of yourself? Also no, right? Yeah, so guys, take care of your bones and your flesh. Amen. Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah, you know, there may be times when you find it, for whatever reason, hard to love your wife. And just yesterday, we learned that there are big fights in marriages. Okay. And well, when come to such a situation, come back to this verse and remember that she is but you. She is your very bone and flesh. Difficult to love? No, right? Difficult to take care? I don't think so, right? So just remember this and come back to this verse. And also, we are very thankful that Paul has put it down here. Husband, love your wife. It's a permanent reminder. Okay, we got to move on to 3A. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Let me see. How many children are there in our midst here today? I only saw 1, 2 hands. I believe there are a lot more. Okay, listen to this. All of you whose parents are still alive, you are considered children for this purpose. You hear that? Now put up your hand, children. That's a lot more. Okay. Now, is it difficult to obey your parents? No. Here? Okay, I hear that. And if that's the case, how about obeying your parents in everything? Tough, right? Okay, well, let's find out how we can deal with that. Now, the way to look at this, this is a commandment from the Lord, though, okay? And that makes all the difference. Now, and I want to emphasize that it's unconditional in the sense we do not obey our parents when we have the time. We do not obey our parents when we are in the right mode or when we feel like it. No. And not only that, we obey our parents not because they deserve it, nor because they earn the right for it. No. No. It's simply because we are obeying a commandment from the Lord. Okay? And when you do that, there are two good news. There are two good news. First one is, you're honoring the parent, and it comes with the promise and the blessing. Remember the Ten Commandments? Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in this earth. That's one. And two, when you obey your parents in everything, it pleases the Lord. The Lord is saying, when you honor your parent, you are honoring me. You are obeying my commandment, and I am happy. I am pleased, well pleased, and I will bless you for all that. Yep, so we do that. Also have a quick caveat or exception to that unconditional obedience to parents. It's the same as to the wife submitting to the husband. The only exception would be when, you know, it may potentially leads to a crime or a sin being committed, or when personal safety will be compromised. Those are the exceptions. Okay, guys, let's move on. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So on one hand, you will see that the fathers provoking children. On the other hand, you see that the children are angry and become discouraged. Wonder how it looks like. This may help us. Okay. It looks familiar. I think it happens in every household, every now and then. And you can feel the tension behind that, don't you? And not only that, I think someone is about to snap any moment. And I don't know who, whether it's going to be the child or the mother behind, the parents behind there. Right? When it happens, it's not going to be pretty. I can assure you of that. Now, how do we get to this situation? I think it's mostly have to do with obedience, or rather the lack of obedience. And simply because the children, when they were young, they were not being taught and did not go through the process well. And so when they grow up, they are in these situations. Now, the good news is this. Obedience can be trained, learned, and earned. Okay, you look at this verse again, also from Ephesians 6:4. Yeah, say, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. In the discipline and instruction of the Lord, it speaks about a learning process for obedience. Okay, and I have also put together a simple process here about obedience learning process. Now, if we take a look at the Old Testament, you'll notice that a big part of it has to do with the Lord dealing with the nation of Israel. And it's always about this obedience thing, rebellion, disobedience, complaint. It may take a long time, like 40 years in the wilderness, but the Lord is patient and gracious in ensuring that Israel learned the lesson before they move on. So yes, it's only four, it's a simple steps, not comprehensive, but I think it's effective, starting with instruction. Okay, our children, they need very clear, concise instruction. And I use the Ten Commandments as an example. You shall have no gods before me. Full stop, period, simple, clear, precise instructions. Moving on, boundaries also need to be clear and firm, and has to be also like cast in concrete, you know. Again, for example, the Ten Commandments mentioned about you shall not kill and you shall not steal. Very clear cut. and you're not expected to go an inch beyond that boundaries. Okay, and how about imitations? Now, children learn best through imitation, and for that, they will need excellent example or role models, right? Well, case in mind, we can tell our children how important are traffic lights, how they must respect traffic lights when you see one. Guess what? Come Sunday, you're late for church. Let's go, let's go. And then right in front, there's a yellow light. What happened? Let's go faster. Well, there goes your instruction and boundaries that you've done, that you've drawn. It's all down the drain. That's it. Yep, yep. And finally, for the repetitions, well, the way that our brain are structured, especially the way the neurons are made, we need to do a lot of repetition to, to burn it in so that both the muscle and the brain works together and execute the task well. I always like this example of our president, Steve Bonnell. He used this illustration very often. The old boring tennis stroke. Old boring tennis stroke. Same stroke, but over and over again. You repeat not 10 times, not 100 times, but thousands of times. And it makes a difference. And that's how world-class tennis players are made. Repetitions. I also tell you a short story of my encounter with my grandson, the youngest grandson by the name of Seth. Grandsons are always cute, okay? And mine is the cutest of them. You don't believe me? Now, 2 months ago, when he's about 7 months old, maybe, learning to crawl, and I found him sitting with a controller in his mouth, something like this, TV controller. He was biting it. So I took it out of his hand, put it back to the rack, and in seconds, he reached out his hand, take it out, and put it in his mouth again. So second time, I told him, give him a firm no, and then I took it out and put it back in the rack. I have to repeat these motions maybe 5 or 6 times before he get it and moves on. Repetitions. So yes, now even as you are training your children to this obedient learning process, you should also consciously gear them towards realizing that there is a consequence for making the right and wrong choices. Of course, you want to gear them towards making the right choices, right? Now, initially, your children may be just going through the motion and very mechanically. That's okay. All right. Now, after a while, you can train them to make willing and loving decision to obey you. To parent first, and when they can understand further, you then introduce the concept of God into their life. Now that they've been trained in the process of obedience, they will quickly learn that to obey their parents is just like obeying God. And that will make it a lot easier for them to obey the Lord from there on and into their adult life. Remember, when you train your children from young, when they grow up, they will not depart from it. Okay? All right? Let's move on. Now, I found this somewhere. If let's see what it is. Now, if wife will not submit, all hell will break loose in the family. True? No? And if husband will not love, this will be a cold family. Well, maybe you have not been to one, but they are. And if children will not obey, there will not be a future for this family. Okay, that's just something to think about, and I strongly believe none of us here belongs to this category. We are made for better stuff. All right? So as we come to a close, I'd like to invite the worshiper on stage. So we are back to the three-step blueprint. Okay. So when we excel, okay, in learning how to submit, to obey with lots and lots of love. Okay. And then we deliberately, okay, choose to submit our children, our parents, our children, our families, and our lives under the lordship and preeminence of Christ. And the Lord will do His part. He will ensure that our families will thrive and shine for His glory for generations to come, just like that of Jonathan Edwards. Okay, as we draw to a close, I would like to remind us and challenge us, okay, with the truth that we have learned today. What will we do with it? What will we do with the truth that we have learned? Also, are we willing to let those truths change our lives, transform our lives, and our family's life? And will you be willing, all right, to take the step now even and subject and submit ourselves, our families, under the very lordship and preeminence of Christ? Okay? Our God is a faithful and covenant-keeping God, keeping, you know, covenant to thousands of generations for those who love Him and obey His commandments.